Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnon and read by me, John Harnon. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet-related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And if you're asked for a password, password from one of my other books, the password is Lewis, as in Lewis Armstrong. We'll see you online. This podcast covers Chapter 3, Creating a Buzz. It is possible to improve your trumpet sound almost immediately by working on the mouthpiece. Alan Vizzuti. Now, I've heard from others that Mr. Vizzuti has actually changed this. He doesn't feel that working with the mouthpiece is so important now. I haven't actually talked to him yet, but apparently he's changed his tune, so to speak, on this. So more info on that maybe a little later. This chapter covers forming the embouchure, buzzing, mouthpiece buzzing, buzzing exercise, and some mouthpiece information. Some terms you need to know. Embouchure, that's the position and use of your lips, tongue, and teeth when playing a wind instrument. Buzz is the sound made when air is forced through a brass player's embouchure. Mouthpiece, on a brass or woodwind instrument, the part responsible for receiving the embouchure's vibrations, placed on the lips for trumpet players. Aperture, the opening in your lips where the air escapes and the buzz happens. The aperture should not be too wide or too open. Chops. Chops is a cool word for embouchure. It also refers to one's ability on an instrument. So what's an embouchure? All wind instrument players have an embouchure. Embouchure is a French word meaning the mouth of the river. In our case, the river is your airstream, and the mouth of the river is your mouth. Embouchure in the trumpet world means the shape of your lips, tongue, and teeth when you play trumpet. Learning how to form your embouchure is a crucial step in playing trumpet, and you want to get it exactly right, or you might have problems later that'll be hard to fix. So when practicing your embouchure at first, do it with a mirror so you know you've got it right. Cool word for embouchure, as I said earlier, is chops. After a long session of playing, you could say, man, my chops are sore. And in addition to referring to your mouth, chops can also mean your ability on an instrument. You could say, wow, Max Roach and Clifford Brown has some monstrous chops. The face is the place. The face is a unique place in the human body, especially the muscles that control it and allow you to grin, frown, scowl, raise an eyebrow, and of course, buzz your lips. Most muscles are connected to bones on each end, but not facial muscles. These muscles are connected to your head bones at one end, but the other end is connected to soft tissues, like lips. And just in case you're wondering, there are several nerves that allow you to feel your face, but there's only one that's actually important to us for playing the trumpet, and that is the seventh cranial nerve. The seventh cranial nerve controls most of the muscles in the embouchure. The muscles of the embouchure. The lips aren't muscle. They're soft tissue. You can see this best in the diagram on the right. The lips don't do the work when playing the trumpet. The surrounding muscles allow you to buzz your lips correctly, and the most important ones are those at the corners of your mouth, not above and below your lips. Here's what they look like and their Latin names, which you're allowed to promptly forget. Now, obviously you can't see this on the podcast, but if you go to scribd.com/jharnum, that's scribd.com/jharnum, you will be able to find this book in its entirety online for free. I totally believe in giving stuff away for free online, and teaching to me is more important than profit. So if you want to take a look at that free of charge, go check out scribd.com, and it's on page 38. So, and on this you'll see detailed images of the muscles and the lips. So why am I showing you this in such detail? Will it help you? Well, yes and no. It's not especially important to know that M. buccinator is the muscle at the corner of your mouth responsible for the, you know, the heavy lifting in trumpet playing. I'm showing you the chop muscle so that you understand it's the muscle doing the work and not the lip. As with any kind of muscle building, it takes a lot of time, effort, and practice to teach the muscles to work efficiently. Think about how long it takes a bodybuilder to get their body to look like it does. If you consistently practice the exercises for building up your chops, you'll get some dramatic results immediately. To get truly strong, however, you'll slowly build up your chop strength and efficiency day by day over the course of a few years, sometimes several years. So stick with it. It's a long process. So let's talk about the dry embouchure versus the wet embouchure. The large majority of trumpet players wet their lips with their tongue before playing. This is called a wet embouchure, for obvious reasons. Some players don't wet their lips before playing, and this is known as a dry embouchure. So why one or the other? With a wet embouchure, the lips will buzz more easily, and it's easier to slide the mouthpiece around to the best location. Those who use a dry embouchure say that it's easier to play higher, and there isn't a lot of moisture interfering with the tone. Though most players use and recommend a wet embouchure, try both and see which one you prefer. I personally use the wet embouchure. It's just a habit now. I haven't really tried the dry embouchure. I never really used it, but check it out and see what you think. So what the buzz is about. All sound is vibration. With trumpet, the vibration is provided by the lips and the air column. The buzz is the sound your lips make, which is then amplified by the trumpet into a gorgeous sound, with practice, of course. An experience is worth a million words. So take a deep breath, lick your lips, or not if you're using a dry embouchure. Place them together as though you're saying, or maybe that you're eating a piece of lemon. Tighten the corners of your mouth and blow air through the middle of your lips. Use a lot of air. From the middle of your lips, you should get a funny buzzing sound caused by your lips vibrating together quickly. It's a lot like when you pinch the neck of a full balloon and let the air out. It's the same principle. Your mouth should look something like the following picture. And this is what it sounds like. Now you might get a different pitch. It might be lower or higher. But that's basically the idea. Okay, so the aperture is the spot where the air escapes and the buzz happens. The aperture should be oval-shaped and not too long across the lips or too open. Ideally, the aperture should be right in the middle of your chops, so strive for that. However, there are players who have an aperture somewhere other than right in the middle. Clifford Brown is a great example. If you can't get the aperture in the middle, check with a teacher to be sure your particular embouchure will work. It's really tough to make changes once you have habits set in place, so this is crucial if you're just starting out. Make sure that you either have it in the middle, or if it's not too far off, that you check with a teacher to make sure you're on the right track. So be careful that you keep the soft, squishy inner part of your lips from blowing outward like you're giving someone a raspberry. Strive for that type of lip formation. Some players find it helpful to keep the lips slightly rolled in. And again, there's a picture of this. If you go to scribd.com/jharnam, you can see it for free. It's on page 39. When you practice the buzz, be sure to take deep breaths. For more information about breathing, there's a chapter coming up called The Correct Breath. It's on page 60. Your stomach will be quite firm when buzzing because you're using those muscles to push all the air in your lungs through a very small opening in your lips. It's a mistake, however, to tighten your stomach muscles on purpose. Just blow and let your stomach muscles do what they do when you blow. If you can't get a buzz at first, blow harder and try holding your lips more tightly together using the corners of your mouth. Don't press your lips together. Use those corners to tighten. If you look at the muscle diagram on page 38, you'll see that the muscles just above and below the lips stretch parallel with the lip. These muscles are meant to contract your lips together pursing string style or outward in a smile, not to press them together. They just don't work that way. So use the corner muscles and the purse string muscles against each other in order to create the necessary tension. Purse your lips and smile at the same time, or try to whistle and smile at the same time. That's similar use of those muscles. When you do get a buzz going, your lips might itch and tickle because you aren't used to vibrating your lips like this. The sensation goes away quickly as you get used to it, so just keep at it. Here are the steps for making a buzz. So, step one, look in the mirror, smile at yourself. Number two, take a deep breath. Number three, place your wet or dry lips together as though saying Keep the corners of your mouth tight, just like you took a big bite of lemon. Force the air in your lungs through your lips. Use your stomach muscles to help push the air out. Hold the sound of the buzz steady for as long as you can, and strive for a big, fat, steady sound. Repeat for a few minutes, and don't forget to breathe. And again, it's going to sound something like this. Okay, Sounds kind of weird. You might want to do it in a private place. Once you have a good buzz, do it for as long as you can in one breath. Strive for a clear, fat tone and a steady sound. Think 10-pound bumblebee. Take another breath and do it again. Time yourself and keep a record of how long you can buzz before the muscles in your lips give out. You can use the tracking sheet in the appendix of this book to do that. Again, those are free online as a PDF at allabouttrumpet.com. It's a good idea to do this sitting down, and if you feel yourself getting dizzy and lightheaded, just stop for a minute or two until it goes away. The buzz will strengthen your lips more than just about anything else you can do. So it's a great thing to practice. The buzz is a very important aspect of playing trumpet, and the better your buzz, the stronger your playing will be. I've heard all beginning players' tone improve with just a little buzzing. Now, this is a little bit controversial. This is something that I've just learned recently, which I find really interesting. The thought is that what is making the sound is not exactly your lips buzzing. It is the vibration of the air column within the trumpet, so that when you're blowing air through the trumpet, that your lips aren't actually buzzing. Now, I haven't done a whole lot of looking into this yet, but it's really a kind of an interesting thought. And this comes from Dr. John Harbaugh, who is at Central Washington University now and studied at Indiana. And, I mean, the guy really knows what he's talking about. So I'm really interested to learn more about this. So stay tuned to maybe my blog or the website, and or check it out for yourself. See if you can figure it out. If you find some great information, shoot me an email. That'd be awesome. I'm always learning more and always excited to learn more. So anyway, this buzz thing, though, I have used it with beginning players for, you know, decades, and it works really well. So when you do this, try buzzing high, low, and in between. Buzz continuously through your range from high to low. Try to buzz a simple song like Row, Row, Row Your Boat or Mary Had a Little Lamb. This won't be easy at first, but keep trying and you'll get it. If you try to increase both your range, both higher and lower. As simple songs get easier, try more difficult songs, like Somewhere Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. It has an octave skip at the beginning, you know, so that's pretty tough. So don't neglect your buzz. You know, you can do it anywhere. You know, walking down the street doing it, you might get some strange looks, but, you know, maybe you're into that. You can do it in the shower, in the car, any place you happen to think of it. You'll notice a rapid improvement in your trumpet tone and lip strength if you practice buzzing regularly. So, but first, a word from your sponsor, air. Playing wind instruments takes a lot of air, and your nose is just too small to do the job right. When you take a breath while playing trumpet, don't breathe through your nose. Breathe from the corners of your mouth or drop your lower jaw and breathe through your open mouth. Except in special circumstances, like some exercises that are much further along in the book on page 140, you'll always use your mouth to breathe. Always. Always, always, always. For more tips on proper breathing, see The Correct Breath on page 60, and that chapter is coming up pretty soon. So another thing you can do is buzz with the mouthpiece. So hold the mouthpiece with only your thumb and middle finger and grasp it gently with these fingers at the end of the shank, the long part at the end. If you look at the picture on page 41, you'll see that. Splay out your other fingers, lick your lips or not if you're using a dry embouchure. Take a big breath and place the mouthpiece directly over the buzz aperture. Ideally, this should be close to the center of your lips, but it's not crucial. So you want this centered both vertically and horizontally on your lips. It's more important to center the mouthpiece over the aperture where your lips are buzzing. Blow just like you did when doing the buzz from above, from before. The sound of the buzz through the mouthpiece is usually more clear and higher than the buzz without the mouthpiece. I'm going to give you some examples of these in a few minutes here. There's some exercises to do. So, some tips. Don't press the mouthpiece into your lips very hard. Just press hard enough to make a seal so you aren't spraying air and spit out the corners of your mouth. As you start to play higher, you want to cram the mouthpiece onto your face harder, but resist this. You do need more pressure, definitely need more pressure, but not too much. The more relaxed you are, the better your sound is going to be. Playing without too much pressure is something most trumpet players struggle with at some point in their playing if they're serious about playing well. Get into the good habit of using the least amount of physical pressure you can get away with. And the trick to this is using the air pressure instead of the mouthpiece pressure. So to get that air pressure, you have to compress the air with your stomach muscles and your diaphragm. So a big breath will help with that. You'll find it easier to produce a buzz with the mouthpiece, probably for sure. Buzzing with your mouthpiece can also be done just about anywhere, and a mouthpiece will fit easily into a pocket. Do the same exercises with your mouthpiece as you do with the buzz alone. High, low, low to high, back to low, buzz simple songs, then harder ones, everything that I was talking about before. So mouthpiece placement, let's talk a little bit about that. If you've been placing the mouthpiece in the center of your lips like the pictures show and not getting very good results, you might consider placing the mouthpiece elsewhere. Remember that the ideal placement of the mouthpiece is where it sounds and feels the best. It's not crucial to place the mouthpiece in the center of the lips if this feels wrong to you. Some teachers insist on placing the mouthpiece in the center of the lips only without regard to the shape of the student's face and teeth and without regard to where the mouthpiece feels most comfortable to the student. So experiment with the placement and really listen to hear where you get the best sound. Cootie Williams, master of the plunger mute, and he was a trumpeter for Duke Ellington for a long time, he also played with an off-center embouchure, and it didn't hurt his career any. If that doesn't come into you, Maynard Ferguson, master of the stratosphere, also has a place slightly off-center. So does Clifford Brown. I mean, these are amazing players. So it's not crucial, but if you're at all curious or worried about it, check with a teacher for sure. Your chin, the chin should be flat and not bunched up. So while playing a long tone on the trumpet or with your buzz, just reach up and feel your chin. If it is bunched up, pull it down so that it's flat. There's, again, a picture of this on page 41, Randy Bernier. A good way to practice this is to form an embouchure without the mouthpiece and be aware of your chin. Use your hand to check its flatness. When you can get a buzz with a flat chin, this will transfer to when you have the horn and the mouthpiece on your face. Use a mirror. So up next are some buzzing exercises. These are just short exercises. Most of these I do when I'm doing a warm-up. You can do it with the lip buzz alone and with the mouthpiece. The exercises only take 6 minutes total. Longer wouldn't hurt you any. And it's a great way to warm up and strengthen your lips before playing. So at first, go through the whole series with just the lip buzz and then the whole thing with just the mouthpiece. Do one or the other every day. Both is better, and after a week or so, mix and match, and you can make up your own. If you don't have much time, I would recommend just doing this with the mouthpiece. If you're having trouble with the buzz alone, just do it with the mouthpiece. That's fine. If you're unfamiliar with reading notes, notes with an X as its head means the note has no specific pitch. If you'd like to learn more about reading music, you can check out one of my other books, Basic Music Theory, How to Read, Write, and Understand Music. You can find that at allabouttrumpet.com and many, many other places online. Given away close to 1 million PDFs of that book, so check it out. Each of these exercises has 3 or more variations of loudness, soft, medium, and loud, and mixed. So use them all. And this book's appendix is a chart to keep track of several buzz exercises. Again, this PDF is available at my website for free. Check your progress with the buzz and with any other exercise. Post the chart in your case or the practice room so you're reminded to do these exercises. So here they are. The first one is a long buzz. You're going to just take a breath as you need it and hold it all the way out. Now, when I give these examples, I'm not going to actually hold it all out. I don't want to, it's kind of weird to listen to me buzz for 30 seconds. So I'm just going to give you an example. And this, you can do it a straight tone with no volume change. You can crescendo getting louder, decrescendo getting softer. I'm going to do a crescendo just for kicks. So start soft and get louder. So here's the long buzz. Huge breath, play it for as long as you can, and I'm just going to do it for a short time. So here's the first one, just a long buzz. Et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Usually stretch that crescendo out for a longer period. So start and stop. This is a way to start the sound with your tongue instead of with your air. Breathe as you need to. Do these in a lower middle register, both soft and medium loudness, and use the crescendo, decrescendo as you'd like. So I'm just going to do a couple of these. The trick with these is to coordinate the breath, the tongue, and the buzz. I mean, the buzz will happen by itself, but the breath and the tongue. The tongue is allowing me to release that buzz. So this is one that I use every day, but when I practice it, it is a really nice way to get the lips buzzing nicely, and this is going from high to low. So you start at a high, just a comfortably high pitch, and then you just do a glissando low and hold that low note for a while. So it sounds like this. Again, this should be an entire breath. Depending on how much you practice this, it can be 10 to 30 seconds, but I'm just going to do a quick one. Okay, just do that a bunch of times until my lips are nicely warmed up. Then also, number 4, I go from high to low, just like that, and then I come back up to a middle pitch. So again, take a breath as you need it, big, large breath, do this for as long as you can, It's much more difficult to go from low to high, especially if you're doing just the buzz and no mouthpiece. So stick with this if you can. You know, if you don't get it right at first, this is what it sounds like. Okay. Number five is the seesaw. This is just going down and up and down and up and down and up. Again, it's more difficult to go up than it is to go down. This is also easier with the mouthpiece, but it sounds something like this. Okay, I'm going to grab my mouthpiece and do this with a mouthpiece so you can hear the difference in the sound. Okay, so I'm just going to do from medium to low. Okay, looks like there's a little clipping on my audio, so that may not sound all that hot, but you get the idea. So another mouthpiece buzz exercise, and this you want to do with your mouthpiece, is to do pitch matching. So with this, you'd play the pitch on the piano, and then match the pitch with your buzz. And on this page, I've put some notes on there, some piano notes on there. And remember, there's a piano keyboard that goes along with this book that you can get for free, again, at my website. And it'll show you where to play these notes so that you can match them. If you have a piano or a keyboard, it's pretty handy for that. What this is doing is it's training your ears to listen to what you're hearing and reproduce it with your buzz, which is great. And it's also getting your buzz more focused to actually play a pitch. So for this, you just take a deep breath, play the note on the piano, and then buzz the note with your mouthpiece and just hold it for as long as you can for one full breath. Keep track of your time. See if you can increase how long you can do this for. And gradually, you're getting higher and higher. Another thing that you can do is do the descending and ascending chromatic scale. And chromatic scale is basically a scale that uses all the notes on a piano, for example. So if you go every consecutive note, black, white, black, white, white, black, etc., you will get the chromatic scale. And again, there's the written notation for this in the book, and you can use the piano keyboard to do this. You don't have to know how to play piano to do this. You can just, you know, find a note that you are able to play with your buzz on the piano and just touch every consecutive key going down and then back up, and you've got it. Okay, so that's basically it for buzzing. Practice this. Use it as a warm-up. You can use it as a warm-down, too. There's some sources for a further study that you might want to check out. There's Burt's Basic Brass, which is an interactive DVD. Its author is Burt Truax. There's Brass Basics and the Burp, B-E-R-P, by Mario Guarneri. I'm not sure if that's how you say his name, but www.burp.com, B-E-R-P. There's a really interesting book called Chops. And this book is by Bill Spilka, and it's got pictures of 480 top players, embouchures. So if you're curious about what embouchures look like, you should check this book out. You know, go to the library and have your librarian order it for you. Embouchure Enlightenment is a book by Gene Young. The Buzzing Book is by James Thompson, and The Embouchure by Maurice Porter. So those are all excellent resources for more information about the embouchure, about buzzing, and all that stuff. And again, you know, talk to your teacher, too. So that's it for this chapter. Up next, at this point, you might be saying, you know, I want to play trumpet, not mouthpiece. All this buzzing business is great. It's very important to you as a trumpet player, but it's not what you got into playing trumpet for, is it? It's not. You got into it to play the trumpet. So we're going to get to it in the next chapter. The next chapter, you'll learn about how to put the trumpet together, how to hold it, posture, and other related issues to get you started practicing the excellent habits used by great players. On the following pages, information about mouthpieces that you might find useful. If you're not interested at the moment, feel free to skip the pages and get right into playing the horn. But come back for it later. Mouthpiece information is important. Now, this information is all about mouthpieces. There's mouthpiece anatomy, parts of the mouthpiece, what each part of the mouthpiece does, things to look for when you're shopping for a mouthpiece, and another very important thing is a graph, not a graph, a chart that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different manufacturers of mouthpieces, all of whom use different ways of categorizing the types of mouthpieces. So this lines up all of the different types of mouthpiece with the other manufacturers. So for example, if you're playing a Bach 7C, you can look on this chart and see, oh, well, that's the same, pretty much the same as a Schilke 11A, or a Warburton 6MC, or a Yamaha 11C4. So it's a little confusing exactly what all of these numbers and letters mean on mouthpieces, but this chart should get you started with that. And again, you can find this book for free, or buy one. That would help me out, you know. But if you want to find it, look at it for free, it's on page 48, and go to scribd.com/jharnum. So if you get a chance, if you like this, you know, shoot me a little PayPal donation. That would be awesome. That would help support me, support this book, and support all the stuff that I give away in my teaching. So that would be very helpful. Stay tuned for Chapter 4 coming up in the next podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. Have fun. Good luck with your practice.